Your attention, please. Always want to do that. Good morning, Osage.
Good morning.
He is risen.
He is risen.
I want to welcome everybody to Osage Baptist Church this morning. Just a few quick announcements to make. This morning after the service, we'll be doing a children's egg hunt. And they've asked me to have you parents, after service, bring your children up here in front of the church, and they'll get them organized, and I think we're going to do it in different classrooms, so Becky will get everything lined out there. So just bring them up here in front of the church. The 29th Women's Ministry Conference at First Baptist in Harrison. May 1st, we'll be recognizing our seniors that are graduating this year, and then also be a table set up for the Mr. Memphis King Cantwell, the son of Riley in Georgia. Going to be a table set up for them for a baby shower. May 11th will be the last night of Awana. Award ceremony on the 18th. Children's Ministry Conference at Rock Haven on the 14th of May. And July 10th, we'll start up the Children's Day Camp. So all this stuff will be here before you know it. So just be ready and keep up with the calendar and help where you can. And just make a blessing. So let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much. We can come into your house and, Lord, just celebrate this time, Lord, that, of our risen Savior. And that, Lord, we just want to turn this time over to you as we sing these praises to you and hear your word. And Lord, just to glorify in your midst, Lord, just to just fill us full. We just turn ourselves over to you today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here." Amen.
Amen.
All right. Y'all can get to stay seated this time. All right. Let's do this. One, two, three, four.
Of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King of all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless and all in wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. All that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nation with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace.
This isn't failing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free.
Giving sight to a blind man, calling out, giving life to a dead man. The song is called Here He Comes.
Here he comes, stepping out in glory. Bethlehem is just the start of the story. Here he comes. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes, teaching in the temple, making timeless wisdom sound simple. Here he comes. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes to seek and save, to wash our every sin away. Hear the captives start to say, here he comes. Here he comes, giving sight to a blind man, calling out, giving life to a dead man. Here he comes. Oh, here he comes, Hosanna's loudly ringing, carries the cross along the way of suffering. Here he comes, oh, here he comes. Here he comes to seek and save, to wash our every sin away. Hear the captives start to say, tomb is shouting, he's alive. Here he comes. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes, oh glorious day. He is risen from the grave. Our creation shouts his praise. Here he comes. My heart beats with expectation. story, here he comes. Oh, here he comes, here he comes. And I can't wait for the dawning of that day when the angels finally say, here he comes, here he comes.
Smaller feet or something. I keep stepping on stuff. Thank you. All right. From heaven to earth, our Savior came for us on a cross. He bled and died. He lives. 1, 2, 3.
From heaven to earth, our Savior came. For us on a cross, He bled and died. And from the cross to an empty grave, He rose to life. He rose to life. He is risen. All glory to Him upon the throne forever and elded and seated high. The Lamb of God, He has overcome. He is alive. He is alive. He lives, reigning in power. He lives, name above all names. Hallelujah, now and forever. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen. For Christ, He lives in me. Oh, this life I live, no longer mine. For Christ, He lives in me. Oh, and on that day, with Him I'll rise. For Christ, He lives in me. This life I live, no longer mine. For Christ, He lives in me. He lives, reigning in power. He lives, name above all names. Now and forever, hallelujah, Christ is risen. He lives, reigning in power. He lives, name above all names, hallelujah, now and forever. Christ is risen.
Amen. He is risen.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It
is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
It is.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus our Messiah hold forever those He loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell among us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of it? He is.
pray the amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, I'd like you all to give a big round of applause to this group up here. They worked very hard to learn this music. Debbie and Kim and Tom, Matt, and Monica, and I just went blank. James, thank you. That's what happens when you get old. Yeah, give him a round of applause. Sorry, James. And Russell, you have your wife back after today. I put a lot on Miss Monica. Give her a special round of applause. She worked a lot, and you haven't heard all of it yet. So, and most of you know this is my daughter, Michaela. I always get to sing with her on Easter most of the time, and I love it. So this song is called, thanks Mr. Mike Dishroom for giving us this song. It's called Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood.
Sons and daughters, we are ransomed by Hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we pray. All right. That concludes that portion of the service. And now we're going to do something we haven't done in probably almost 2 years. We are going to take up an offering. How do you like that? So, ushers, if you would, come help us out. Pastor Lanny.
We're not going to dismiss Children's Church until after the offering. One of the suggestions that we talked about on Sunday night was that we want our children to understand that giving is a part of worship. And so this is going to change some things. And so we're going to start doing this on Sunday morning, give you an opportunity to worship with your giving. And it'll also give you an opportunity to teach your children to give. We started ours out very young, teaching them to give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. I would use that verse to say that if you always give, you'll always have to give. And God blesses that. He touches that. He uses that. Doesn't mean I don't mean to say you're always going to have money if you give. You're going to be broke some of the time. God will use that also in your life. But we need to teach our young people about giving to the ministry. Time would not allow us to tell you how many different entities, when you put money in the offering, how many people's lives that touches. You're sending money to the orphanage in Monticello. You're sending money to unwed mothers' homes all over Arkansas. You're sending money to missionaries to the farthest corners of the earth. And on and on and on and on. A portion of that will be going to that. Brother David, you come and lead us in prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that is given us this day. And we thank you, Father, for the season in which we are celebrating. And Father, we just pray that as we worship you in our tithes and our offerings, that you might bless the gift and the giver, and that it might be used to glorify the kingdom. These things I pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
All the people said, amen. If you're involved in children's church, you can take charge of your Indians now. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. And we're going to give you an opportunity to stand as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. That was a little different sitting this morning. Matter of fact, I can't help myself. I kind of like that. that felt pretty good. Okay, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. You may be seated. When we go back in history a little ways and think about the birth of Jesus, he had lots of things borrowed. And when you go through the history of Jesus walking here on this earth, he borrowed lots of things. He borrowed a boat to preach from. And he pushed out a little ways from the shore, and the people gathered there on the shore, but he borrowed that boat as a pulpit. When he was talking about giving to Caesar, when he was questioned about the taxes, he asked if anyone had any money. Yeah, I've always wanted to do that while I preached and ask if anyone had a $20 bill, and I'd use it for an illustration, and then I'd just put it in my pocket and go back to the... I haven't done that yet. I've thought about it a lot, but I haven't done it. But he borrowed from others. I mean, think about it. He didn't hesitate to ask people to do things for him. When he fed the 5,000, and the disciples said, send these folks away and let them go get something to eat. And he said, let's feed them. Well, What could we feed them? We don't have any. He said, well, what do you got? Use what you got. I'll bless it. Little as much when God is in it. Did you know that? It may be the words of a song, but it is when God is in it, he takes little and makes a lot out of it. And so he was conceived in a virgin womb, a borrowed womb. He was concealed in a virgin tomb. By the way, no one had used that womb, and no one had used that tomb. Why would that be? Why would that be? The holiness of God? Sometimes I think that we fail to get away from that. We fail and we get away from the holiness of God. And we do not treat that where it the way that it needs to be treated. Then we see the two secret agents here that are part of the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. They're a part, at least, of the burial. Look back a little bit in your Bible, John 19, and look at verse 38, John 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave, and he came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloy, about 100 pounds worth. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. And there laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Now, these two guys, we're a little bit acquainted with them. We're more acquainted with Nicodemus than we are Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he was a rich man. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews, the Bible says in the third chapter of John. Love rises triumphant over the fear of these two people. You know what I think is going to happen? I believe that we're living in a day. I believe we're in the last days. But I believe that we're living in the days of deception. Matter of fact, the Bible says that unless the Lord were to shorten the days of the deception, that many of the elect would be deceived, that you and I would be deceived. This deception is so strong. Now, this is what I see happening to the church in our age. I believe that it is drifting from the Bible. And that's our only anchor of the soul, is the Word of God. And I see the church drifting from the Bible. Back when I first started preaching, I'd been pastoring for a few years. And I moved to a little town, pastored the First Baptist Church in Tuckerman. And in that town, there was a lot of churches. Almost every one that you can, every denomination that you can think of. And just down the road from our church was the Methodist Church. And the Methodist Church pastor said to his people, "You don't have to believe in the virgin birth in order to be saved." Now, my Bible teaches me that we have to believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. That we have to believe that He rose again. This is what I think that is going to happen to the church in which you and I are a part of, in the generation in which we are right now. I think that what is going to happen to the church is that there's going to come a time that a preacher will stand behind the pulpit and say that you no longer have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus in order to be a Christian. Because it's already headed in that direction. There's some easy believism preaching going on now. You don't have to change your lifestyle. You can go ahead and live in sin, be whatever you want to be. Consider yourself a Christian. Well, my Bible says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. that old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, I don't know what your Bible teaches, but that's what mine teaches. And so I'm going to urge you to stand firm in these days in which you and I live. So let's look at that. These two secret disciples they've come to a place that they that love has won out, and they are serving the Lord no matter what society says. So Nicodemus and Joseph have come to a place that they either are going to have to confess or take a stand. Neutrality was no longer possible. They either had to confess or deny that the hour had come to them. And I wonder, has the hour come to you and me? That we either deny or we confess Jesus. He's our Savior. Let me ask you, those folks around you know that you're born again? That came to these two disciples. They were no longer secret disciples. Look with me over at Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Matthew, Mark, and look at chapter 16 and verse 1. Talked about how these accounts different people see things in different ways. Verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now, you remember Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had brought 100 pounds of anointing for the body of Jesus. That was theirs. That was theirs. But this is the women's. You can't give for your kids. You can't be faithful for your kids, and your kids can't be faithful for me. I hear these stories about when you talk to people about their relationship with Jesus, they'll say, well, my grandfather donated the land that church was built on. Of course I'm a Christian. Really? If you put a cat in the oven, does that make him a biscuit? Doesn't have anything to do with it. The first church I pastored, I don't know how long they've been meeting, a long time. And they had $600 in the treasury. And the treasurer said to me, I began to teach them to tithe, or I tried to teach them to tithe, to give to the work of the Lord. I tried to be the example. And I tried to talk to them about what the Bible said about giving. And the treasurer came to me and said, Daddy said, he gave enough for all of us. Well, I don't know how much Daddy thought was enough, but it wasn't. Because you can't give enough for your kids. You need to teach them to give for themselves. And young people, listen to me. If you get an allowance, you ought to give 10% of that to the church. Can you figure? She's taught every one of these kids math in here. Not all of them. She didn't. Uh-huh. you go down and if you go to work, let me tell you how to figure it. You go to work, they give you $100. Gwen said for me to quit asking the congregation questions because I couldn't hear what they said when they answered. Did y'all catch on to that last Sunday? Everybody was giving the answer and I couldn't hear it, and I just kept on. Make it fun to come to church. If you make $100, 10% of that ought to go to the Lord's work. That's $10. You got it? You got it? Okay. And I have people that say, oh, the church is just here to get my money, or you know, the pastor's always asking for money. You don't hear me asking for money. And I tell folks all the time, they say something about that, and I said, it doesn't matter if you gave 2 cents. It wouldn't change my salary in the least. It doesn't make any difference how much I say about money, and I don't say much about it. But whenever we get the opportunity to have a teaching moment where we can teach our kids and teach our people, good night, teach our people about giving to the Lord's work. So God will be able to bless them. Not so the church. I want the church to do good. And I think it will. And I think it does. But it's for your own good. For my own good. So that God, so I can open the doors for the Lord to be able to bless me. I wasn't even aimed to say, I'm just like Roger. I wasn't aimed to say that. They didn't sleep in. We didn't, did we, this morning, those of you that came to sunrise service. I tell you, that was early. It was early for us. They didn't sleep in at the rising of the sun. And these women began to question. Verse 3, they said, who will roll us away the stone? Sometimes we get concerned. We worry. Gwen says that I just think up stuff to worry over. But they was worried over something that had already taken place. It had already taken place. The stone was already moved. And we get concerned about stuff that God has already got taken care of. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Put your trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. That's what the Scripture says. So they're worried about something that already had taken place. Verse 6 says He's risen. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. Now, I'm not as good as Mike and his daughter. But I love that song. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. This second verse. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. Now listen to this. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. Help me. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to... That's right! You ask me... That's right. And that's the only way that you can really know about the resurrection is the living Lord living in your heart. You know that He has risen from the grave because He's living in your heart. Mary anoints Jesus' body for the burial with a year's wages of ointment. He rides a donkey into Jerusalem on the Sunday before the resurrection. And they cry, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. The King has come. He tells the disciples to go prepare room for the Passover. And as they eat the Passover, He introduces to them the new covenant. This bread is my body. This wine, this cup is my blood. This do ye as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. You do that until I come again. You show that you're a believer through doing that. So he does the awfulest, humongous, worst thing that you can possibly ever think of. Death on the cross in humiliation and bloodshed on the cross between two thieves. So that your sin and my sin would be forgiven. I don't understand it. I don't know why God chose that way. But God chose that way. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But God sent His Son so that you and I could be born again. And He died on the cross. But folks, listen to me. Sunday's coming. Woo! Sunday's coming. He's going to rise from the grave. He's going to rise from the grave. And sure enough, Mary, teacher, that's me. It's me. Go tell my disciples. So here they come. Here they come. Peter and John. Running for the tomb. The Bible says the younger guy outran the older guy. That's just normal, isn't it? And he got there, but he didn't go in. But the old guy went right in. And he saw that Jesus had come up through the wrappings that they had wrapped him in the tomb. And John saw the napkin that was over his face. And the Bible says that he saw and he believed. I wonder, I don't know. I wonder how many meals the disciples and Jesus had together. And I'll tell you, and it's not that I don't think, I think Jesus was a very serious person. I mean, Son of God. But I believe it was a lot of fun to be around Jesus. I think that he drew people to him. I mean, folks like to be around him. We saw a presentation in Branson a few years ago. They're not doing it now. They're doing something different, but it was called, what was it called? The Passion? Was that the Passion? But they did a presentation, and the guy that played Jesus, I thought, this is what I really believe Jesus was about. I mean, he was celebrating with them. When they was dancing, he was dancing. I know he drew people to himself because of his character, because of his attitude and his forgiveness and his love. People would just be drawn to him. They'd sit around that table eating together, And he done some little something with his napkin every time. They didn't use forks and spoons. They used their hands. And he did something with his napkin when they'd finished the meal, I think, every time the same way. Maybe he rolled it up. Maybe he made rabbit ears out of it. I don't know. Whatever he did, I think that he did it for John. And when John went in that tomb, woohoo! Oh, I can't stand it. Can you? Oh, when John went in that tomb and he saw that napkin roll by itself together, he knew. Woo! He is risen from the dead, man. And because he's risen from the dead, one of these days the shout is going to happen and the trumpet is going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to come up out of the graves because he rose from the grave. And if I'm in the grave, I'll rise up out of the grave. If I'm not in the grave, I'll meet him in the air. And the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine what joy those that have gone before us are experiencing right now because of the resurrection. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what glory? What glory? I tell you, you and I, Paul said, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. It's going to be different when we're face to face. Being able to worship him face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. What will it be? When with rapture I behold him? Would we bring him back? Oh, man, you know, something that I've noticed as folks get older, they talk a lot more about heaven. And you think more about it. The older you get, the more you think about it. You think about, how much longer do I have before I experience that? What will it be like? No pain, no sorrow, no tears. God himself will wipe away the tears. Do you know him as Savior? Do you know him as Savior? Has there been that time in your life that you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, be your King? Be your Savior. Would you do that today if you have not done that? Let's stand together. Mike and Monica is going to come and help us. Rod is going to come and help us. If you'd like to come and talk to me, I'm here. Roger's going to be here. You can go to him. He'll pray with you. He'll lead you to the Lord, whatever your need is. If you do not know him today, would you step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at or where Roger is and say, I'm not a Christian yet, but I want to be today. I want to accept him as my Savior today. Maybe you're here and you're not a member of this fellowship. You'd like to do that today. Maybe you have accepted him. You've not yet followed him in believer's baptism, and that's something you'd need to do. Maybe it's a recommitment on your part. Recommit your life and your heart to him. As we sing, we invite you to come.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's face, and sin past love. Lose